Anchorage will have a new mayor in 1 week. Ethan Berkowitz was elected by a landslide, certainly by the standards of a non-incumbent in an Anchorage mayoral race. And he has been in his transition process and is ready to take office and bring his new team in after 6 years of Dan Sullivan. Mayor-elect Berkowitz is with me today for Hometown Alaska in the studios here and ready to take your questions about his direction for the city. And I've got a bunch of questions of my own, and he's got some experience in being on the radio. This is not, you look pretty relaxed.
I'm very relaxed in front of a microphone, but it's nice to be on public radio.
Yeah. Like I pride ourselves on our listeners and their good questions.
The questions that I'm going to experience today will certainly be different than the kind of comments I've experienced in the past.
Yeah. Well, that was a whole campaign issue. So let's start with the campaign, because it was a really unusual one. I'm guessing that a year ago you did not expect to be mayor now. I don't know if you, when you decided to run, but their decision seemed to come fairly late in the game. There was a big field of candidates. Some of them seemed pretty strong. And yet you ended up winning with a very large margin, especially compared to any race where there was no incumbent in the race. And I guess my first question would be, like, why do you think that you won by such a large margin? Was it Ms. Dombowski just sort of making missteps? Was it your vision, like, took off like a rocket? I mean, what's your interpretation of it, and what does it mean?
There are a lot of reasons why things turned out the way they are. I don't take this as a mandate to do whatever it is I think is necessary. What I see as important, all the candidates running spoke about two things primarily, which is the need for more public safety and to address the homelessness and the housing situation. To the extent that there's a mandate, it's more of a commandment from the public, please deal with these particular issues. I look at it as, for the next time that I serve as mayor, my responsibility is going to prove to the people of Anchorage every day that I'm paying attention to the city's concerns, that I'm doing what we can to position ourselves to take advantage of the opportunities that are going to come our way.
Well, do you think that you sort of won the trust of voters, and that Ms. Dombowski maybe lost it because of some of the campaign stuff that was going on? I mean, do you think that was part of it? Because it seemed at the end that although you're perceived as more of a progressive candidate or liberal, that a lot of the traditional conservatives were coming over to your side as well, maybe because they thought that you were more of a known quantity.
I can't speak to why people supported me. I did certainly try and convey the fact that I've got a lot of business credentials, that I've worked hard in my public life to be fiscally responsible, and that's a message and a practice I'm going to carry with me in the mayor's office. At the same time, what a mayor does isn't inherently partisan. It's not progressive or conservative inherently. It's about making sure that we can solve problems. It's about making sure there's enough police on the street. It's about fixing potholes. It's about conveying to the rest of the state and the rest of the country and the world even, that Anchorage is a great place to be and that you ought to come here and visit and maybe move here, bring your businesses with you.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, you do come in with having won by a large margin. You've got an assembly which looks like it'll be pretty sympathetic to your point of view in terms of the sort of the political dynamics. You've got a governor who is nonpartisan, but is certainly more democratic than the previous governor or the one before that. And, for a little while longer anyway, a Democratic president. Do you feel like this is a moment when goals that Democrats would have wanted to pursue are more likely to come about? Do you see it as an opportunity in that way?
I see it as an opportunity for us to prove that politics that's about practical solutions can win, that the politics that's about stigmatizing the other guys is stale and doesn't work. I mean, if you look at the history of what took us to this place in this country, where you've got Washington, D.C. being completely dysfunctional because the parties just care about fighting with each other instead of governing. You look at what's gone on down in Juneau, and it seems to be an awful lot of political sniping rather than constructive political dialogue. The public, and I include myself in that, are tired of non-solutions where politics has just become theater. We need politics to be about governing, and that's the kind of solution-based governance that I hope to provide, and I think that's what the public appetite is for.
Mm-hmm. So you've talked about public safety. You've talked about housing. There was some discussion in the campaign about bikes and pedestrians as some of the issues that were pretty popular. Those first two are really the main thing that were discussed. What are your plans on those?
I want to make sure we have more police officers. I want to make sure the police officers we do have are able to do what's required for public safety without political intrusion on their decision-making process. Public safety is a profession, and I trust the officers to exercise their professional judgment when it comes time to figuring out which laws to enforce and where to enforce them.
So what are you referring to there? Is there something along those lines that happened under the past administration?
Well, what I would like to do is make sure that downtown is a safe, attractive place for people to be. Mm-hmm. And to the extent that it's going to require us to divert more police effort in that direction, we're going to do that. I also want to see what we can do to bring back some of the units that were disbanded on account of some of the shortfalls that were existing in terms of staffing levels. Staffing levels are on the increase and will continue to increase. But ultimately, I'd like to see us get to a position where we can do community-based policing, where you have officers more integrated into the communities, where the communities are more aware of who the officers are. It's been striking to me as I travel through Anchorage and talk to people, how they can recall particular officers who were responsible for particular beats at a particular time in those neighborhoods. And to a neighborhood, they have commended the officers who gave of themselves to be there.
But isn't that really expensive, hiring a lot of cops? I mean,
it's not. It's not expensive. What's really expensive is to allow crime to run rampant. Crime is far more expensive than policing. And, you know, you talk to downtown businesses, for example, you talk to businesses anywhere. And when businesses have to step forward, when homeowners have to step forward to provide private security measures, they're doing that because public security measures have been found wanting. And so what you've effectively had by cutting the police force or reducing the amount of officers who are involved in policing is you've transferred the cost of security from the public sector, where it's more efficient and more effective, to private businesses and private homeowners.
Mm. Housing. Do you have a plan I know that this has been a big issue. People can't find apartments they can afford. Do you have a plan of what you want to do about housing? Or are you coming in with something already in mind?
There's a spectrum of need for housing in Anchorage right now. I divide it into two broad categories. The first is, what are we going to do with people who are stuck on the street, who seem to be there day after day, year after year? And there are programs that have been affected here in Anchorage, the Housing First model. We saw it at Carlick Manor. We're going to see it expand. And there's about 300 or 400 individuals that can make use of that. And I think that will do a lot to make sure that the streets are safer. It's a more compassionate as well as a more cost-conservative way of proceeding, because when people are on the street and are using services, it's a very expensive thing to do, $50,000 or $60,000 per individual, as opposed to housing, which is $15,000 to $20,000 per person. So we can be smart with our money as well as compassionate, because the people on the street, there's different categories of folks there. And if you look at them, most of them have some kind of tragic story. Some of them are being preyed upon by those who are predators out there, and we need to make sure that this city is safe for everybody. When you address the broader question of housing, for starter houses, when you talk about people who might be in transition and having a hard time maintaining homes, when you think about the fact that maybe 3,000 out of the 47 or 48,000 kids who go to school in the Anchorage School District are housing or housing insecure or lack housing or are housing insecure, we've got to do more to make sure that people who aren't going to lose their homes because they might have a difficult time making rent on a particular basis or because they've lost a job. And we've got to smooth out those difficulties in people's lives. At the same time, we need to proceed with a building program that lends itself to denser housing. We're seeing some of this happen in various neighborhoods across Anchorage right now. You look at what's going on in Mountain View. There's a lot of housing units going up. There's things going on in East Anchorage around Muldoon. I look at downtown, which is an attractive area for people to relocate or to locate. We don't have dense housing. I was talking to people who live in the old Kinnick Arms, which was built in 1948, which is a six-story building. So Anchorage has a history of building structures that are multi-story. We just seem to have done it once. We did it once, and that was enough. We ought to do it at least twice, and maybe more folks will have a place to live.
It's Hometown Alaska. Charles Woolforth and my guest today is Mayor-elect Ethan Berkowitz, who's shortly to take office. And if you have questions for the mayor-elect, you can call us at 550-8433. That's 550-8433 within the bowl. If you're outside Anchorage, it's toll-free at 888-353-5752. And the email is hometown@alaskapublic.org. And now I'd like to go to Pat from Anchorage, who has a question about property taxes. Pat?
Yeah, Mayor-elect, congratulations. I voted for you. I wish you well. The question I have is concerning exemptions to municipal property taxes. Specifically, I and others I associate with are disabled veterans. And the exemption for disabled veterans has stayed the same for quite a while. But throughout this existing administration, assessed property values have gone up pretty aggressively. So the numerator, the disabled exemption, is static, and the denominator, the assessed property value, has been going up, up, up with a net erosion to the actual felt exemption for disabled vets and others. So I'd like to ask your consideration to take a look at, as assessed values go up, shouldn't those exemptions, especially for the elderly in our population, shouldn't there be some type of index to increase the exemption as well, or the felt impact is going to continue unabated to erode the actual exemption?
Well, you're making me very glad that Mr. Digrenes taught me about numerators and denominators a long time ago. So thank you for recollecting that to me. This is one of the inequities of property tax. People on fixed income or on any income, your property doesn't necessarily reflect where you are in terms of your ability to generate the tax. And so there are fairness issues that have to be built into the administration of any tax. And when it becomes unfair, then we've got to make sure that people who can't pay for a particular reason, or who got into a house or got into an apartment, don't lose their house for reasons of relatively small taxes. It's something that's just a basic fairness issue with me. At the same time, you've got to look across the municipality of Anchorage, and I want to make sure that people who should be paying taxes are paying taxes. That's only fair to the law-abiding citizens and taxpayers out there who are otherwise shouldering the burden of folks who might be freeloading, perhaps inadvertently.
So how do you feel about his specific issue of the disabled the credit? There's also a credit for seniors, and I think these have been at $100,000 for some time. Would you like to see those increased?
I'm not going to blanket say yes. I would like to see how many people are affected. I would suspect that we would be able to identify the individuals and be able to address them one by one. And some folks might require more assistance or more flexibility in terms of their ability to pay. And other people, it's just not an issue. I've also had people who are senior citizens tell me that they might not need a property tax mm-hmm. exemption. But to me, once you make a commitment like that, once you make a promise like that, you have to keep it. That's the nature of promises.
Yeah. And Pat, I think that senior exemption, I don't know about the other one, it's actually mandated in state law. But thanks for your question. Now I'd like to go to Diane, who had a question about building inspectors. Diane, are you still with us?
I am, and July 1st can't come too soon. But I think first we should all apologize to Ethan's kids, because being in the limelight, poor souls, they can't do anything naughty.
No, they would never do anything wrong anyway. They're paragons of virtue. Just ask their grandparents.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, as you hopefully you watched last night at the assembly meeting, Title 21 is a big issue, and I'm really glad that perhaps we'll have the opportunity to see both of the ordinances that have been developed on that come forward together to evaluate them. But what people don't really get, and I've just been educated by my neighbor who's a contractor, is that about 90% of the issue, according to one assembly member too, is that when you go to the permitting office, you have to go on bended knee and grovel to get your permits through. And it's not like they're doing They're not there to provide a service. They are the kings. And I think there's an attitude change that needs to occur. Also, that I guess 1 year my neighbor said, half of the permitting office took off on vacation for June. And that should be a priority, that the permitting office and the inspectors are fully staffed during the construction season. Another incident that my neighbor
let the mayor-elect address that, because I'm sure there we could come up with a million stories of people who are unhappy with any office. Just so the listeners know, Title 21 is our land use code, which has been a topic of debate for, it seems like, decades now, and is now in front of the Assembly again. How do you feel about the building inspectors, that office out on Tudor Road? Are you concerned about the way they're doing business?
Yeah, once we proceeded, and I say we because this happened over the course of many years, proceeded down a course where we had a prescriptive code rather than a descriptive code, we took away a lot of the discretion that people who administer the code have to administer it. What we're going to do, and what we've begun doing, is to make sure that the culture in the building offices is to make sure that if there's an issue regarding code, that it's not simply enough for the city official to identify an issue and say, hey, you've got a problem. It's the attitude now is going to be, how are we going to get you to yes? How are we going to help you solve the problem? We can do that, and it's going to require morale change. It's going to require a change of personnel at the top, and we're embarking on that. I think people are going to be very happy with the changes we make. It's going to make sure that permitting works in a smoother fashion. It's going to result in a better work environment for people who are administering the code. And you know, this is a tough situation to be in, enforcing rules under the best of circumstances, but it doesn't have to be a hostile kind of environment. It could be a collaborative environment, and that's what we're aiming for.
So are you planning to more or less clean house from the Sullivan administration in terms of those department directors and really bring in your own team? Have you had any trouble in finding people to change those jobs? What's your philosophy in terms of what kind of turnover you want with the new administration?
Most of the people who work for the municipality are good people who are trying to do a good job. And I want to make sure that they have the chance to use their creativity and use their understanding of the rules and their vision of where the city ought to go in conjunction with the people who are on the other side of the counters as well. We can work together. I mean, we know that. People go shopping at Costco together. Their kids go to the same schools. So the idea that we're inherently at loggerheads with one another just has never made sense to me. What we are going to do is change out the very top of these departments, have a change of leadership, and bring in some fresh air. And it's my expectation that if you bring in some fresh air, some fresh eyes, some fresh voices, we're going to change the tenor in these divisions, these departments, and it's going to result in a better product for everybody.
So pretty much clearing out all of the department heads, or do you?
No, not all of them.
Okay. I see our next caller, John, wants to talk about the police chief. So that may be a good segue. John?
Yes, Mayor, congratulations. First of all, my question was who you decided on for your police and your fire chief?
We are going to be making those announcements very shortly.
Okay. Thank you so much.
And a bunch of other announcements. Do you hope to have the whole team together before an inauguration day on July 1?
We hope to, but sometimes recruiting does not go as smoothly or as easily as one would plan for, but we are going to be very close to a complete team by July 1.
Salaries at the municipality for executive level positions are substantially below the private sector. Has that been a challenge for you in terms of getting the people you want?
There's some anomalies there where things go upside down, where the higher up the food chain you go, the less you get paid. And that's a difficulty. It's also when you talk about some highly compensated positions, at least positions that would be highly compensated in the private sector. It might be difficult to recruit people. Not impossible, just a little bit of a challenge, and it takes a little cajoling, and we're in the process of putting our best arguments forward.
Would you foresee making any changes in terms of the salary scales that you're able to offer to executives?
It's something you got to be very cautious about just unilaterally saying we're going to change the salary scale, say, at the fire department, because it has ripple consequences. But there are structural problems with the way it's developed over time, and we've got to have an ability to recruit and retain people so you have a command structure that is that's attractive, because you don't want people resisting the opportunity for advancement simply because it would require a pay cut.
Yeah, kind of strange. It's Hometown Alaska. We're talking with Mayor-elect Ethan Berkowitz, who's taking office in basically a week.
And, a week from today.
Yeah, everything hopefully is coming together. And if you're interested in attending the inauguration, it's going to be July 1 in Town Square Park. The actual formal part will begin at 4 o'clock, and then the party will go on until 7. And there's some other events going on in the next few days around the new administration coming in, and we'll tell you about those in a few minutes. If you want to get on the air with the mayor-elect, the phone number here is 550-8433. Outside of Anchorage, it's toll-free at 888-353-5752, and you can reach us by email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. Let's go to Caroline now, who has a question about the Point Woronzow issue, where there's a land trade proposed. Caroline?
Well, I was going to, first of all, Mr. Berkowitz, I enjoyed working with your volunteers as a volunteer myself, and I look forward to being able to say mayor.
So, you can continue to call me Ethan. That works just fine for me.
Right. Okay. Title 21, of course, took a lot of work, and a lot of people have been involved in it, and there's a lot to do there. But if that doesn't work out, it can be changed. It can be put into a different form. What I'm concerned about, and let me just say, I was at Point Woronzow for the first time in about 20 years this past week, and I could not believe the fact that it was so beautiful, and asking myself, what kind of work were you doing that would allow you to miss out on this?
Well, I'm sorry that you discovered how beautiful it is, because I've always enjoyed it as for its solitude out there.
Exactly, and the people are still respectful. It's interesting. They're busy listening to the ocean, I think, as I was. But my concern is, if this gets swapped out, don't we have enough ugly parking lots that we can stack our snow in? And I heard about the question of the runways being expanded, and I'm wondering with transportation changing and being decreasing in some areas, if that's going to be needed at the time to get around to doing it. But nonetheless, that is a jewel. And a lot of people, I'm wondering how many members of the assembly who are in favor of this have ever been out there.
Yeah, so that this is an issue where there's a land swap proposed to the city would be able to use a snow dump that would be given by the airport, and the airport would take over land which is now a dedicated park, which would require a public vote to undedicate it. How do you feel about that ordinance, Mayor-elect Berkowitz?
I you don't want to rush those kind of massive land swaps the way it's been proposed. And there's no urgency on the airport's part. The airport is a huge economic driver for the municipality. 1 in 10 jobs in the bowl come from the airport. So I'm respectful of that. But at the same time, that coastal trail and that coast are prime real estate. And we have a heritage to protect, and that's something I'm mindful of. I'm confident we can achieve a balance between the airport's needs and protecting our heritage. So I think with a little bit of thought and some creative negotiation, we'll be able to come up with a solution that works for everybody.
So you'd like to set aside the ordinance and go back to the negotiating table?
Yes.
Would you foresee vetoing it if it comes out of the assembly?
Well, look, I've got to see what happens. We're not going to actually sit down and address it until August. So there's plenty of time for us to at least become more familiar with the parties who are engaged in the negotiation and see if there's some alternatives that perhaps haven't been explored. We get the opportunity to bring in fresh eyes to this problem. I'm not in any rush to achieve a negotiated settlement or a contractual settlement at this point, which I think helps the city achieve more of what it needs.
It seems just from as a newspaper reader that there were several issues that the Sullivan administration was trying to get through the assembly in an expedited way while they were still in office, and that several of those have been delayed. Do you feel like there are issues that Mayor Sullivan has been stacking up because he's thinking about you coming in, he's trying to get things done or get things resolved that you might not support?
I think that Anchorage gets one mayor at a time, and currently the mayor is Dan Sullivan.
All right. Here's a question coming in by email. Can we please get Uber back in Anchorage? It was an excellent service. Where does Ethan stand on Uber? This is the ride-sharing program that you can get on your phone that competes with the taxi industry.
Look, as long as people that are providing rides for fee play by the same rules, that's one thing. There's been some interesting rulings in the lower 48 that have said that Uber drivers are essentially employees of Uber. So we're still having an emerging understanding of the legal definition of what Uber provides. But this whole notion of the sharing economy, where we're making better use of our resources, so we're not wasting them as much, is something that we're going to have to use. And I see the sort of the underlying algorithm of Uber being very helpful for the municipality when it comes time to using, say, the vehicles we have, maybe the vehicles we have in conjunction with what the state has. There are some cost savings to be had by using that same underlying philosophy.
You know, we have a system in Anchorage where we issued these taxi permits, and then they went on the market and became private property, essentially. And those folks feel they have a property interest and always fight any new entrants into that marketplace. Is that a concern that you put weight on? Do you think of that they have a good argument and that something needs to be balanced? Or do you think that maybe that Uber's got a point? If they offer a better service, they should be able to. Where do you come down on that competition thing?
You're not going to be able to stop new technology just by dictate, by some kind of municipal fiat. And this is a problem that jurisdictions are wrestling with all across the country and across the world. The problem of having limited entry, which is what this is for the taxi drivers, it's like with limited entry permits in Bristol Bay or any of those fisheries out there, is you create a scarcity which creates a demand, which generates a certain type of economy, and it's a constrained economy. But the people that have been forced into that economy, the taxi drivers and the permit holders, they've done so with a clear understanding of what the rules are, and they've paid the price for those to follow the rules. And if we're going to change the rules, then they need to be compensated.
All right. Let's take a question before the break from Louise, who has wanted to say something to the mayor-elect about the role of minorities. Louise?
Hi, yes. I just wanted to say congratulations, first of all, and thanks for having me on. I just have a quick question for Mayor-elect Berkowitz. My question is, what is your plan, and if you have one, to include minorities such as myself in important discussions and help us become bigger players in the governance of this city? Because, as you know, Anchorage is one of the most diverse cities in the United States, and it sometimes feels as if we don't have as much of a big role as we should. Thank you very much.
I'm really proud of the fact that we are the most ethnically diverse city in the country, and that's a source of great strength to us. And you're going to see an administration that reflects what Anchorage looks like.
All right. How does that sound to you, Luis? I think
sounds good. Thank you very much.
Right. Okay.
So we're going to take a short break, and when I come back, I'll give out those phone numbers again and get to our callers who are waiting. I want everybody to know that the inauguration is coming up in 1 week on July 1st in Town Square Park, open to the public, obviously. The formal part will begin at 4, and then there'll be music and celebration going until 7. And there's some other events taking place as well. The mayor-elect has been holding town halls. The next one and the final one is tomorrow at Abbott Loop Elementary School from 6 to 7:30. If you don't get your question in today, you can get there to have your say your piece. And on June 28th, there's a diversity picnic taking place at Northway Mall from 2 to 5 p.m. with food, music, festivities, and all that. Stay with us. It's Hometown Alaska, and we'll have more of Mayor-elect Ethan Berkowitz when we continue after this break.
On the next Fresh Air, we hear about a program in the Watts community in L.A. where former gang members and drug dealers work on becoming better fathers.
We just have standing room only now. You know, it's something that they said wasn't going to work.
We talk with Mike Cummings, a former gang member, now a pastor and co-leader of the group, and social welfare professor Georgia Lee, author of the new book Project Fatherhood. Join us.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 9 on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen on alaskapublic.org.
On the next Outdoor Explorer, we explore a different kind of lifestyle, one in which families orient their lives to their outdoor interests rather than to school and community. I'm Charles Wolforth. Some parents have adopted a philosophy of prioritizing freedom and fresh air as a family. We'll talk to folks who have made that leap and weigh the pros and cons of a radical family investment in your outdoor passions. Join us Thursday at 2, repeating at 9, on FM 91.1, Alaska Public Media. It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth, and my guest is Mayor-elect Ethan Berkowitz, who is in the studio to answer your questions. If you want to call us up, the number here is 550-8433. The number outside Anchorage, 888-353-5752. And if you want to reach us by email, it's hometown@alaskapublic.org. Here's an email from a listener who is wishing you good luck and congratulations, Mayor-elect Berkowitz, and has a question about taxes. The listener suggests reforming the municipal tax structure along two simple principles. One, tax broadly and lightly rather than narrowly and deeply. We get most of our money from property taxes, of course. Two, keep exemptions and allowances confined to the population segments most in need. We currently do have exemptions that are pretty broad for everyone. Right now, the muni tax scheme is too narrow because it concentrates on taxing property owners and too riddled with exemptions or allowances for too many questionable purposes. If everyone pays a little bit, then the few will not have to pay too much. What's your thinking? Do you want to reform our tax structure? It's kind of the third rail, and mayors have tried before and failed.
The public has stated pretty clearly to stay away from anything for the time being, and that's clearly what I'm going to do. We've got other things to attend to. I'd like to focus more on doing what we can to develop the opportunities we have here, make sure the housing occurs, and that way grow the tax base and share the load. I also want to make sure that a lot of entities that might perhaps be claiming tax exemption unfairly, we're going to go back and revisit that and make sure that those tax exemptions are truly deserved.
All right. Let's take a call from Keith in Chugiak. Keith?
Hi there. Congratulations, Mayor Berkowitz.
Thank you. And you can please call me Ethan, unless I have to call you by official title. Do you have a title?
I'm just Keith. And I was to
think we're having an earthquake.
We're having an earthquake right now. I'm getting shook around.
Yeah, it's moving around a little bit here.
Let's see what we can find out about that. Go on with your question, Keith.
My goodness, you can't do anything about that, can you?
Well, I can't say that I caused it, but thank you for noticing.
All right. There's sign ordinances in the municipality for business owners, and so people can have, like, huge, annoying signs. And then, you know, some enterprising people, they made these vans that could drive through town with the signs that would flip around on them. Well, now we have this Geico guy, a guy with an airplane dragging his sign across the sky. And I live out here in Chugiak near Mirror Lake, and he'll fly between my house and the mountain with this Geico sign, just, and I really hate Geico commercials anyway. But
I guess we know which insurance you're not buying.
So is there anything that can be done about that?
Yeah, let's take. I don't know if the mayor has anything to do with aviation signs, but and signs in general. Do you want to leave that alone? You got something you want to do on it?
I hadn't really thought about signs aside from there's that old song about sign everywhere, sign blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Charles, you're probably old enough to remember that
honestly,
one too.
You know, I didn't. I've lived out here for better than 25 years, and this is why we lived out here, because it was peaceful and nice and quiet. And in the last 14 years or so, Well, I've got Black Hawk helicopters flying over at treetops between me and the mountain. And then this Geico guy, you know, I can, you know, the Black Hawk guys, I'll deal with those guys. They're important. But this Geico guy.
Yeah, we hear you, Keith. I'm not sure the mayor of that can do anything about that.
Well, I think you probably talk to the FAA about that. Hey, Charles, if you get a chance to see what the strength of that quake was, that would be great to know.
I'm working on it.
Like all Alaskans, I'm insatiably curious. How strong was that, and how long did it last, and where did it start?
We'll get the information as soon as we can get it. In the meantime, let's take another call see if Dave can multitask in there and give me another call from Andre. Andre, are you with us?
Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead, Andre.
Hey, Ethan, I've heard that you have some plans to kind of shake things up down at the Public Works and Building Safety Office, and it's got those of us in the housing industry a little nervous. I was wondering if you could shed any light on your plans there.
Well, I think what I'd like to be able to do is get to the point where you can move your permits through quicker, and if there are any issues in terms of compliance with regulations, the folks there are going to try and help you identify how to get to a yes answer. So in terms of shaking things up, it's going to be shaking things for the better.
Well, that sounds good. I like the sound of that.
I have to tell you, I mean, I've had to deal with permitting before, and I describe myself as being what I call formophobic. I'm not a fan of forms. I know that sometimes you can get tripped up by relatively minor things, and the people that are charged with enforcing the forms or the regulations ought to be there to help you get to the right answer. And if there's a problem, they ought to be there to help you, not just to point out a problem.
Well, I look forward to it and hope for the best.
All right. Thanks, Keith. Let's go to a call from Kathy, who I think wants to talk some more about the airport land trade. Kathy?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, and I'll add to everybody else's congratulations again, Ethan, to your election. I'm really looking forward to your administration and your leadership for our city. As you can imagine, this proposed land trade between the municipality and the airport is so disingenuous to the public and what we feel is the most important thing for our city to do, and that's to retain our dedicated parkland and a section of our existing beautiful coastal trail. So I'm hoping that once you step into office, you can sit down with some of us who have been working on this issue since 1994 and helped create that park, and talk with reason about how we can resolve snow dump issues without involving a land trade with the airport. Where are you at on this topic at this point?
Well, I think that there are solutions out there that we can explore that will help the airport get what it's need. It will help the municipality deal with the snow removal issues and at the same time protect the integrity of the coastal trail. I just think that we need to be more creative and we can get there. Frankly, I will tell you, though, I'm not in any rush to change things. And if people want to come at us as the municipality with a better offer, I'm willing to entertain. But I'm not going to rush down and make a deal because I'm not in any hurry. The status quo is pretty good for us.
Well, I appreciate that. And not only is the integrity of the coastal trail at stake, but we've got 191 acres of dedicated parkland that's a very natural open space area and tidelands that fall within the refuge boundaries. So it's not just the trail that we need to focus on, and I think the airport should get what it needs, but it definitely does not need this land. They've shown no justification whatsoever to take ownership of this land.
Well, I don't think the airport's in any big rush to do anything either, and so it gives us time. There's no urgency, and so we can be deliberate.
All right.
I think that's an excellent approach.
All right. We're going to move on, and I do want to let everybody know the earthquake we felt just a little while ago at 2:32 Alaska Daylight Time was a 5.6 magnitude 75 miles southwest of Talkeetna. There's no tsunami expected. So just a typical Wednesday afternoon in Alaska of being shaken while we talk to the mayor-elect. Show is Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth, mayor-elect. Ethan Berkowitz is with me in the studio and taking questions from the public. If you want to get on the air with the mayor, the elect, the number here is 550-8433. Outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. And the email address is hometown@alaskapublic.org. And we do have some callers lined up, but you've been asked a couple of times about a pending issue of the airport land trade. Another couple of big pending issues, the Kinnickarm crossing. Do you have a what's your position on the crossing, and do you see a change in policy from the mayor's office on that issue?
I've been consistent about opposing the Kinnickarm crossing for a long time, and I'm not really going to change that. I think that what's happened to Government Hill on account of some takings by the state government is frankly unconscionable. To destroy buildings, close down businesses on the possible contingency that sometime there might be an eventuality sometime in the distant future that there could conceivably be a bridge doesn't make any sense to me at all. We're in a time where the state is strapped for money, and to be throwing big dollars after a project that they don't know how they're going to pay for doesn't make any sense at all to me.
As mayor, do you have the ability to change that, or is it a state project only?
I think the mayor has some capacity to change that conversation and affect the conversation. Look, we're in a situation right now where the state dollars are strapped, and we've got to do a very good job about choosing between things that we might want in the future or need in the future, as opposed to infrastructure development that is important for where we're going to go today. Roads that cross the east-west in Anchorage, some of the north-south corridors that I think would expedite traffic. How are we going to do things to make sure that there are emergency exits all from Anchorage? We need to be able to deal with those issues first before we get into the wish list of Kinnickarm crossings and other mega projects that we don't know how are ultimately going to get paid for.
We have a question now also on transportation from Martha about the People Mover. Martha?
Hi. And also congratulations. I have ridden the bike, walked, driven a car, and taken the People Mover. And I can understand, I very much appreciate the service, but Anchorage is a big, spread out in a big bowl, and there are parts of town where there aren't service, where the service isn't available. Routes number, this is kind of the micro, but routes number 2 and 1, there's some duplication of service. One starts in the eastern end of town, that's route number 1 in Muldoon, and then ends up at the Diamond Center. And one starts downtown and goes down Lake Otis. And all along Lake Otis from Midtown to the south end of Lake Otis, there's a duplication of service. When I checked with the People Mover Administration about maybe moving route number 1 to go through the medical and university district and then go down Elmore south towards Abbott, I was told that I guess that was under consideration, but the current administration didn't approve of funding so that the routes could be moved around. Are you looking at anything as far as mass transit?
Yeah, we're going to do what we can to make sure that the bus system is as rational as possible, serves the people that ride the bus as much as can be. We also want to do what we can to make sure that the bus is more accessible for more people and serves the parts of town that people want to get to. You know, the neighborhood health clinic should have a bus stop, for example. We ought to be serving the UMed district better than we do. So there are things that we are going to be doing in terms of enhancing the quality of public transit in this town.
And, of course, our bus system doesn't pay for itself from the fares. Is that an area where you would want to increase the subsidy coming from taxpayers?
I think there are conceivably alternative ways of finding funding for public transportation that we're in the process of exploring.
All right. Here's an email. The mayor gets big issues, gets small issues. And hopefully Connie won't, or Corrine won't mind if I characterize this as a small one, but She points out that the Anchorage Centennial website is out of date, and many of the listed events have little or no detail. We're coming up to the centennial of the townsite auction on July 10th, just a week after your inauguration. Do you have any plans in terms of the centennial celebration and in particular about this website?
Well, I think like all good parties, it should last for as long as we can possibly stretch it out. So I'm going to stretch out the centennial for as long as we possibly can.
Are you planning to assign staff to it? I mean, her question is like, why is the website out of date? And I realize that's a little bit fine grained for the mayor.
I'm having to fight off staff that want to do things with the centennial. They right. love the notion of the centennial.
All right. Jean is on the line with a Hillside question. Jean?
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I am an elected board member for one of the LRSAs on the Hillside. And in the past, with Mayor Begich, we had monthly meetings where we met for like an hour, hour and a half to voice our concerns, which are many. And I'm wondering if you would entertain the thought of reinstituting those and addressing some of the issues that we have.
Yes. Yeah, I want to meet with as many people, and if not me personally, then somebody on my team, so we can make sure that we're staying in as close contact as possible with all the various parts of Anchorage. I also want to emphasize that regardless of whether you're in a service area or whether you're not in a service area, if you have an idea or a thought or a suggestion about how to make Anchorage a better place to live, tell us. It's really important that people remember this is our city, and we get to shape what it looks like moving ahead. So if you have an idea about how to make the bus service work better or make the LRSAs highlight a problem that you might be seeing in the LRSAs, tell us. If you see something on the trails that's an issue or an idea, tell us. And we're going to do what we can to bring that to fruition. Because we, you know, one of the great things about living in Anchorage, each one of us has the capacity to make this a better town. And because we have that capacity, we have that responsibility. So I might be the guy who's lucky enough to sit on the eighth floor. I'm not just going to sit there. I'm going to wander around a lot. But each and every one of us has the ability to make this a better city.
But you've been doing these.
And how would I contact the correct person to address those issues?
Well, would you just start by calling me at the mayor's office, and we'll figure out who to go to as soon as I get a telephone.
And there is a town hall meeting tonight at Abbott Loop Elementary School. Yes, tomorrow night. Sorry. So that would probably be a good time to make your feelings known as well. At 6 to 7:30, is that right?
6 to 7:30
at Abbott Loop. All right. Thank you for your call, Gene.
Thank you.
And let's go to Bob now, who has a question about municipal light and power. Bob?
Ethan, congratulations. This is Bob Lohr, and I had a question about your plans for MLMP and a short follow-up, if I might.
MLMP is a huge challenge, and I am concerned about what's going to happen with the utility. I mean, you look at what's going on for the ability of utilities to provide services across the country. It's a rapidly evolving area. Technology is moving quickly. I have concerns that perhaps the rail belt has been overcapitalized. There's too much production, which is ultimately ratepayers are going to have to bear that cost. It also constrains the flexibility that MLMP has moving forward. So this is an issue that's going to require some very long-term thinking.
Thank you. And I heard about a personnel action that may happen as soon as Friday. And I'm headed out of town, but I wanted to weigh in with someone on your team about that before it happens. How could I do that? Whom should I contact before that time?
You can.
Is there a number for the transition team that folks can call?
I know that main number. Yeah. I'm trying to get someone. Is Mike Abbott working yet, or to talk to someone?
Suzanne Flake.
Okay.
Yes. All right.
Suzanne's
the chief of staff. You're not trying to get Suzanne's phone to ring off the hook, but
no,
it sounds
I'm
like
not.
Bob has a something particularly wants to talk about. And we've got. It's a Hometown Alaska. Thanks, Bob. We're going to move on. Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth. We've got about 10 minutes left. Email is a great way to get on the air, or the phone number here is 550-8433. And the question's big and small. I think the mayor-elect is learning how fine-grained and how big you get hit with. This emailer, caller, wants to know about spiked fences that impale moose. The assembly addressed this. People weren't happy with the answer. Do you intend to revisit that issue about whether people can have fences with spikes on them?
I will make sure that if we have to haul moose off of a spiked fence, people know that that's a risk, that they're going to be charged for it.
All right. Bill, police coverage in Girdwood. That's a big issue
now. Hey, Ethan, I owe you an apology, man. I stepped on your toe at the Two Cellos concert when I was leaving.
That's quite okay. I was so busy dancing, I didn't notice.
That was a great concert, wasn't it?
I go skiing a lot, and if you're an employee, you can ride the shuttle down to Alyeska, and if you're not, I don't know what the deal was that. But what I'm really calling is, down there, they've lost their state police coverage, and they're really concerned about the municipal police coming down there and what it's going to do to their property values. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they're concerned that we're going to have to bring the police, APD, down to the way we serve the rest of the bowl. I mean, I'd like to find a solution where we just keep the trooper. That's the simplest way of solving the problem. And I've begun conversations with the Walker administration to see if there's a way of doing that. It makes the most sense for everybody.
And one last thing. Is there any way to get a different way to pay your property taxes? Because you get your permanent fund in October. Instead of paying in June and August, could you pay in August and October after you get the money? I mean, something like that might be a good idea because it's kind of hard to come up with money sometimes.
Well, that's an interesting idea. We'll definitely take a look at that.
Yeah,
hey,
different.
Thanks, and have a lot of fun, okay?
All right. Yeah, they do that on the peninsula where you there are a lot of fishermen, and the taxes come due in the fall when they get their fishing money.
I have never understood why you have two installments due 2 months apart.
Right. I think it's because they want to get the money. Ed has a question or a comment about the police. Ed?
Hi there. Welcome, and thank you very much for the call. Congratulations, Ethan Berkowitz. Very glad that you made it. I'm sure this is going to be a breath of fresh air here that we actually need. I do have a question here about the use of police in the city. I think we've had some recent incidents where it just seemed like things were escalated more than they had to be. And I'm wondering, with this emphasis on the increased police force that you're planning on, if there's going to be a way to address that instead of using deadly force, maybe use some other options first.
Well, I think that if you have more officers and you can do things in a proactive way instead of a reactive way, you're going to have fewer situations that are capable of escalating, and you'll have more police prevention. That's really the way to proceed. I would much rather have cops respond to situations that aren't criminal in nature, that aren't an emergency situation, because that's ultimately how we breed public safety. I do think that oftentimes when officers are respond to an emergency situation and there aren't enough officers there, sometimes things escalate faster than they should because the police are understaffed. And when they're concerned about officer safety, there's a whole protocol that they go through. We're going to have to make sure that the training is appropriate and it's something that's ongoing. I think the officers we have working for the Anchorage Police Department are professionals. They want to do a great job, but we're going to try and build better relations, stronger relations with the various diverse communities that exist across our city.
Well, that'd be great, because, yes, police safety is important. Public safety is also important.
Yes. And we wind up compromising both by not having adequate numbers of police.
Do you think that we are a city where Ferguson or something like it could not happen, or do you think we're just lucky?
I don't see something that volatile happening here. You know, one of the great things about living in Anchorage is we rub shoulders with everybody. Three out of our six high schools are what they call minority-majority, which I'm never quite certain what the term minority means anymore. 19 out of the 20 elementary schools in the country that have the greatest ethnic diversity are right here. We're a very ethnically diverse city.
Highly integrated, yeah.
And on account of that, people, for the most part, tend to look past some of the racial divide that affects and infects the lower 48. It's not to say it doesn't happen in the tragedies like you saw in Charleston. They do occur here. I mean, we do have our incidents of racism and homophobia with the burning of the flag yesterday, but they're roundly condemned. And they tend to be the act of people on an extreme.
Another public safety question. We're also, sadly and shamefully, very high in rape statistics. One of the highest in the country. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything you plan to do about that, or any ideas beyond just adding more cops? Is there anything we can do as a community to deal with that?
Some of them are smaller notions. There used to be a domestic violence writ enforcement, a group of officers who enforced it. And they would basically knock on doors, follow up on domestic violence writs to make sure that everything was okay. And you talk to officers who are part of that force, and they said it reduced the incidence of repeat offenses 75%. So we're going to resurrect that. And that was based on a federal grant. We've got to go back and get those grants again so we can do those kind of efforts. As we make the community safer, we're going to require less expenditures in the enforcement end of things. And the public, as the public feels safer, it's just going to be safer.
All right. Another big issue that came up during the campaign where you were able to sort of quickly be distinguished from Ms. Dembowski was on bikes. A lot more people are using bikes as transportation around town. Do you have ideas or plans for making it easier or better to bike in Anchorage? I know there was some real frustration about federal money that was lined up to improve bike access routes that was then not done. How do you plan to address some of those transportation issues?
There's a bike plan for Anchorage already. One of the things we're going to do in the first couple of months when I'm in office is I want to make sure that the biking community weighs in and fleshes out that kind of plan. I'll tell you, one of the more interesting ideas that has come up out of the transition committees was they want each neighborhood to have its own unique type of bike rack. An artistically fashioned bike rack, one that might be appropriate for Fairview, one on the hillside, one in South. It's just everything is going to be unique, and you can tell where you are based on the bike racks that are there.
Do you have plans for restructuring the way we do transportation? Is that a priority for you?
That is a mammoth task, and I'm not vain enough to think that I could change how people get around here. But we're going to do what we can to make it easier for people to walk through neighborhoods. I want to make the neighborhoods healthier. There's a lot that we could do. There's a lot what we should do. This is a great city. People should be excited to live here. I'm excited for the chance to be the next mayor, and thank you for giving me that.
Well, thanks so much for being with us, Mayor-elect Mayor Ethan Berkowitz. Good luck next week with your inauguration, July 1, 4 o'clock. Be there in Town Square, and you can see the mayor do the oath of office. Dave Waldron was our audio engineer today. Pat Yak is the vice president in charge of content. I'm Charles Wolforth. Thanks for being with us on Hometown Alaska.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.